will call 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children of Israel.
Well, good Thursday evening to you. This is Brother Brandon Teague coming to you live from Faith Baptist Church in Paris, Texas, and you're listening to the Old Paths Broadcast Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's good to be with you this Thursday, this fine August evening, and we thank God the weather, the oven, somebody has finally opened the oven door. God has given us a little bit of break from this oppressive heat. And it's absolutely wonderful outside, and I thank God that he spared us a little bit, and we're glad to be coming to you on Blog Talk Radio on the Old Paths Broadcast. We're glad to bring you this program. We hope that you will stay with us for the full 2 hours tonight and enjoy the program, as we're going to be talking tonight on our continuation of this study on the strange woman from Proverbs chapter 7. But before we get into it any further, I want to bring in my co-host, Brother Jason Cooley, Pastor Jason Cooley. He's the pastor of the Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And good to have you with me tonight, Brother Jason.
Amen. Good to be here, brother. So what temperature have you had down there in Texas here recently?
Well, up until just a couple of days ago, we've been, up in the hundreds, up close to 110, and it's just been scorching, blistering. I mean, like I said last week, our ground is cracked open so bad, I'm almost afraid my Wawa and my little weenie dog outside for fear they'll fall in one of those cracks and I'll never see them again. And it's just terrible. Really terrible, but it's just we hadn't had hardly any rain at all, and for quite a long time, and ground's just parched, and it's just been baked like hard clay. I mean, my grass is all brown, and it's not pretty. But thank God we've had a cool snap, brother. It's about 84 outside right now, so we just thank God for a little bit of relief. So. But anyway.
Well, amen. Well, hey, it's been down up here in Minnesota. Last night it was like 50 degrees overnight. And it's been unusually cold, even cool for Minnesota.
Right.
Usually it's warmer than this. Now, we're supposed to head back up to 90. It's state fair time, and it seems like no matter what's going on during state fair time, it's got to get scorching out. That's just the way it goes. So the weather can be cool, but as soon as state fair weather hits, boy, it starts to heat up real hot.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming you consider 90 degrees to be scorching hot.
Well, not necessarily. It'll get 100 up here, and the problem with up here is the humidity gets so high,
right,
so thick that, I mean, you breathe in and you're drinking water, man. I mean, it's pretty thick. The humidity gets real rough here. So the heat's a little bit different from where you guys are at, compared to here. Not to say that you're not going through it, but, boy, when it gets humid here, you really know it.
Right. You have a problem with mosquitoes up there?
Oh, they're horrible, man. They'll pick you up and carry you off. I mean, they're unbelievable. You step outside for 5 minutes, and, man, you'll get ate up. You got to go inside real quick. It's not good. I mean, those mosquitoes are real bad this year.
Well, it's so hot here, the mosquitoes give up. But we have had a scourge of these enormous giant grasshoppers, these yellow grasshoppers that are about 3 inches long, and they come in and they eat everything. And, and you don't dare try to ride a four-wheeler down a road or something, because they'll dive bomb you from the side of the road.
and one of those hits you right in the temple, it'd probably knock you out. So you have to be careful of those things. But I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to fall. I really am. I'm looking forward to some cooler temperatures and feeling like getting out and doing things again. It's just been simply too hot to really want to do much of anything but stay inside and under the air conditioner. But I'm glad to be with you on the air tonight and looking forward to finishing up this series tonight and moving on to something else. And it's been a good series, and I've enjoyed doing it as we've talked about.
Amen, brother.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, amen. It has been a good series, and really breaking down a lot of this and talking about this strange woman and everything that goes on with just trying to identify some things from Scripture and trying to warn you not to. Even there's good ladies out there. I want to reiterate that there's some fine Christian ladies out there, and let this be a warning to you to be careful not to take on the characteristics or to take on something because you see something going on in the world. But boy, look at that King James Bible and just make sure that you're following that. That you're not following some characteristic or the fashioning of this world. That's the greatest lesson here for a married woman and a Christian woman is, you know, to understand be careful. Just follow the King James Bible.
Absolutely. And I think you and I have been preaching along the same lines here of late. I've been preaching on that. I think both of us preached on that straight gate and the narrow way here recently, and I've been talking to our folks about the narrow way, and you know God's way is a narrow way. It doesn't blend with this world, and we're not to align ourselves with this world. We're not to look like this world or talk like this world or act like this world. And really and truly, I think for the most part, you know, the average Christian, and I use that term loosely, but the average Christian really doesn't understand exactly what God wants from them. We've all become so indoctrinated with worldliness that we've forgotten what God's standard really is. The only way to know is to really dig into that Bible and really examine exactly what God is saying and pray about it. And, unless we stay in that book, I mean, I preached Sunday on Proverbs chapter 1, you know, The Bible tells us about the blessed man that doesn't listen to the ungodly counsel and doesn't get in the way of sinners and do the things they do and doesn't become a scorner who sits down and mocks God, but delighting in the word of God, delighting in the law of the Lord, knowing what God says and not just knowing it but delighting in it, and that's really what we're kind of trying to do here. Is look at what God says, and you know, and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We're going to delight in God, in God's word, and what He says, and His. I mean, because we're His children. Those of us that are truly born again by the Spirit of God, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're His children, and as our Father, He knows what's best for us. And He says, you know, if we'll do what He's, if we'll follow His commandments and delight in them, and be obedient children, that we're going to be blessed. And that's really what we want more than anything else, is not just to sit and criticize, but to help somebody to get in a position to be blessed by their Heavenly Father.
Amen. That's exactly what needs to take place, getting God's people back to the book. That's what's going to change things in this country. That'll change things in your life. It'll change things in your family. When we get people back to God's book and get them back on the Word of God, that King James Bible.
That's absolutely right, brother. And I just hope and pray that as folks listen tonight, that they will. It's real easy to put your defenses up when you listen to something that starts chipping away at what you're doing. But I would suggest to those that listen tonight to listen prayerfully. And, if you start getting upset, ask yourself, am I upset because they're saying it, or am I upset because it's the truth is really being revealed to me and my sin is being exposed? Because a lot of times when your sin gets exposed, pride jumps up and says, they're not going to tell me that. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that attitude is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous to get that attitude. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll tell you, God has got to have that. He's got to have that veto power in your life. God has got to have, you've got to give him that veto power. When his word shows you something that you're doing this wrong, you've got to allow God to have absolute veto power in his word to stop you in your tracks. And that's what we're asking you to do is tonight is prayerfully consider what we're saying. And, you know, because, hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. If you don't want to follow what we're teaching tonight, that's between you and God. But it doesn't stop from my obligation as a preacher of the Word of God to tell you the truth, and you do with it whatever you will. But we want you. We want to help us while we're here. We want to be a blessing to you.
Amen. That's exactly what we want to be.
Well, brother, we're gonna get into our first little segment here in just a second. I want to go ahead and throw that phone number out so folks they can get it wrote down and maybe here in a little while when we get into this thing they call in. But I want to go ahead and give that guest call in number tonight. If you'd like to call into the program and give for the program tonight, the number to call is 646-915-9266. One more time, get that pin. 646-915-9266. Brother, we're gonna get into our segment tonight called Wake Up, and again, you know, we decided we'd do this because there's so many things going on in our world today, and you and I talked earlier today, and this world is so rapidly heading for destruction. I mean, we're just, it's almost supersonic speed headed for destruction. And just a little while earlier when I was on my way to town, you and I were having a conversation, and we were talking about, you know, this the players in the political world are, they've stopped pretending. They're beginning to just show themselves for what they are. There's no more trying to fool people. And I think for, you know, part of that, brother, is you know, technology is a double-edged sword. They're using it to control people, but at the same time it's biting them because there are so many alternative media outlets that are exposing them for what they are and outing them. And so rather than fight it, rather than try to put out fires, I believe, you know, the devil's just leading them to just come on out and expose himself for what they are.
That's exactly what's happening. We see this with Hillary Clinton and with Jeb Bush and with George W. Bush's daughter. This week, Jeb Bush gave an award to Hillary Clinton, like a Liberty and Freedom Award. Wait a minute. Now, these people enslave more people. They hate liberty. They stand for nothing, right? This Hillary Clinton doesn't. She doesn't stand for liberty at all. What in the world's going on here? Why would these people that are supposed to be, they act like they're mortal enemies, but they're out giving each other's families. Why? Well, because they're both in the New World Order. That's why. Both of them work for the same team. Let's not pull any punches and tell the truth. They're both on the same team. When Clinton has his Clinton Initiative and he has his Global Initiative, the Clinton Global Initiative, all these players from both sides come out and give money at this initiative. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. They're making millions of dollars off the American people, and they're selling us down the river, and they all work for the same team. There is no difference between the two.
That's right. Right. I was reading yesterday, somebody was talking about Joe Biden, and they made that old comment. I hadn't heard anybody say it in a long time, but, you know, when he dies, they'll have to screw him into the ground. He's so crooked. And, you know, that's the way they all are, brother. You'll have to screw them all into the ground because they're crooked.
Brother, it reminds you of World Wrestling Entertainment. I don't watch it, but I mean, it reminds you of that. I used to watch wrestling before I was saved when I was a kid a lot. I watched it and I loved it and everything else like that. But you know what? You knew the actors were fake, but you get into the storyline, the plot line, and then you start getting into it so much that you actually think it's real. And what we're seeing here today, now look what we're seeing here today. You got Hillary Clinton and you got Jeb Bush. And you got Bush's daughter here, and they're all on the same team. You got Chris Christie, you got Barack Obama, you got all these people on the same team. Now, the only politician that the only two politicians, well, actually, there's probably three or four, but there's only the only three or four politicians that stand outside of this group are men like Justin Amash, are men like Rand Paul that will stand aside. I don't agree with every decision that Rand Paul has made, but he stands aside from them and he tries to pull the funding and the foreign aid to all these other crooks that are out there, but they're standing aside and they're saying, you know what, we're not going to be a part of your little system, your little party. We're not going to be a part of your tricks that you're pulling and everything else that you're doing. You know, we're gonna stay away from it. We're not going to be a part of your game. This is a game that they're playing. Now, it's precious lives that are in the balance. How do you give – listen, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. She has been involved with more war decisions and more UN decisions and things like that that have went on than anybody else in the administration right now. She's tied to Benghazi. She's tied to all of it. And what are they doing? They're giving her an award. She doesn't deserve an award.
Brother, you know, I read somewhere not too long ago, and folks out there ought to Google this. Look and see how many people closely associated with the Clintons and their business dealings have died at a very young age. I mean, how many car crashes, how many suicides, how many accidental...
What was his name? Vince? I can't think of his last name, but he was in the...
Vince Foster, and there was Chandra Levy, and there's a long list. I looked at a list one time. It was something like 26 people just mysteriously died who were connected with the Clintons. I mean,
they're like a stinking drug cartel.
And you got the whole MENA Arkansas drug running thing. There was so many scandals. I mean, there's no sense of us taking the lid off of that. But, I mean, people know what's there. But how soon we forget in America. We're too busy worrying about everything else. Can't wait for the next episode of this to come on or following the sports heroes. Or it's almost football season, so we forget about what's going on in our country. But,
I just preached a message, brother, last night on conspiracies, and I took the King James Bible, and I haven't uploaded it yet, but I will be uploading it to our sermon audio page, but I took the King James Bible and used that and showed that, yeah, there is a conspiracy, but what you people need to understand is to wake up and understand something. The answer to the conspiracy is found in the Word of God. The revealing of the conspiracy is revealed in the Word of God. I don't have to look at a 9/11 Truth Commission report. I don't have to look at Building 7 and watch it not be touched and all of a sudden by osmosis or some stupid thing it falls out of nowhere. I mean, what, somebody blow the candle out and the whole building fell down? Anyway, I don't have to look at that. I can look at the spirit that's behind it. And I can look and see what the spirit is behind it. And the spirit that's behind it is Antichrist. When they use the Patriot Act, the National Detention Act, and all of these other things to take out the American people's liberty and to try to go after their guns with the UN and everything else, I understand. I look at the King James Bible. I see what has to come to pass in Revelation chapter 13. I see where it all has to lead, and I understand that we need to wake up and figure out, listen, that Satan is behind all this. He wants a new world order. Read Psalm chapter 2. You'll see the kings of the earth have set themselves against the Christ. They set themselves against God and against Christ. That's exactly what they're doing. That spirit that Paul said, that mystery of iniquity, is already at work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just pulled up a page here that's got this list. And I don't know anything about this website that I just pulled up. But it gives a list. It's the website is earlcalloway.com / corpse count. And it's given, I want to say, I can't remember how many, they don't have them listed, but it's just a long page of all the people who have died as a result of the Clintons. It just blow your mind. And they're setting this woman up. They're setting this woman up to be the next president of the United States. You can already see that this atrocious woman, and she's an atrocious woman. has been handpicked to be the successor to Barack Obama. And you're right. There's only a few people in Washington who are credible at all. I'm not familiar with that Amash or how you say his name. But
yeah,
you know,
Amish. Yeah, he's a good guy.
And Ted Cruz out of Texas seems to be a man of character. I'm not 100% sure on him. You know, and I know there are other probably some small time politicians who are working within their own legislatures and state legislatures. But for the most part, yes, they're all just crooked and corrupt, and they are coming forward and revealing. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. They pull back the curtain and you see them for what they are. But they come out behind the curtain and say, "Hey, yeah, that's what we are. And what are you going to do about it? Because we've got you under control." And you know we've got all our agencies are armed to the teeth. And if you want a war, we'll give you a war. I mean, that's what's coming to. And my soul, folks better wake up. They better wake up.
Amen, brother. That has to happen. Folks got to wake up and see. What really bothers me is the Christians, those that claim to be born again believers. They bother me the most, because they're the ones that are sleeping and voting in these people that, I mean, they shunned a man that believed in peace first. They shunned a man that in Ron Paul last year. Many of them shunned that man.
Mm-hmm.
And said he wasn't pro-Israel, said he wasn't pro-this and pro-that, and made up all these lies about him, and they believed the party line with everything. When the man wanted peace, and he was for peace, and he was for doing things the right way, and not spending money that we don't have, not stealing it out of your pocket. Here's what these Christians don't understand. God never gave you the right to take a gun and point it at somebody's head through the IRS and through the taxing aid, the power of the purse, and go and steal somebody's money and give it to Israel. If you want to do that, then you spend your money and send it over there. But God never told you it was okay for a government to strong-arm people in the name of Jesus Christ with a gun and go after them and take their money. Now listen, you could say I'm not pro-Israel all you want to. I don't care about the foolish charges. You better wake up and understand something, that whatever it's for, no one has the right to take money from somebody else and give it to somebody else like that. They have no right to do that. God never gave a Christian the right to do that.
No. And, you know, folks, I mean, listen, right now, Israel, and I think this is something that needs to be said. Right now, listen, I do not subscribe to this John Hagee belief system that all the Jews right now are going to be saved through an Old Testament covenant. Everybody comes through the blood of Jesus, or they don't come at all.
Amen.
When Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he didn't say "I'm a way." He said "I'm the way." And no man cometh to the Father but by me, unless you're a Jew. That ain't in there. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And right now, Israel is a nation of Christ-rejecting Jews. And until the Antichrist sets up the abomination of desolation in the rebuilt temple, until then, they are going to continue to be a nation of unbelieving Jews. Until they see that they have been fooled, they will not believe. Yes, maybe one or two here and there, but you can send all the money you want to over there, and you can do it in the name of evangelism, but they're not going to evangelize.
Hey, can I say something here? Let me say something. I don't care. Here's the thing that that folks have to understand. Have you ever given any thought to this at all? Have you ever given any thought to the fact that we're sending money over there to fund the Antichrist to build something over there anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what gets me. We have a bunch of dispensationalists, okay, that believe. And listen, I don't understand. They're not thorough. They're not thorough with their beliefs. And here's what I mean by that. Because they say that they believe that this is the time of the Gentiles. They say they believe that, okay?
Right.
Well, then why are you trying to make Israel godly today then? Why are you trying to believe that they're godly today and you're supposed to financially support them and do all of those things today? Why do you believe that today that you're supposed to do that? If you believe in this is a dispensation of grace, then why are you skipping ahead to another dispensation then when or another time period that you believe is going to be in the future? It doesn't make any sense to me. The bottom line is that with politicians today, they will sell you on three things. Let me tell you something. Wake up. Listen to this. Here's what they're going to sell you on. They're going to tell you they're pro-Israel. They're going to tell you they're against abortion. They're going to tell you that they love Jesus, and they're going to say all three of those things to get elected. And they don't care about anybody. They don't care about limited government. They don't care about any of those things unless their record proves differently. They don't. Wake up. Stop
right.
going with the party line and wake up.
Amen. I mean, yeah. They don't, listen, people don't believe anything. Just anything that somebody tells them in any other area of their life. Surely not. You can tell somebody anything. I want to see some proof. And, you know, we don't spend enough time checking these people out. Today, it's who's popular. Well, it seems that the entire Republican Party likes this man, so he must be the one that I need to vote for. No, look at what these people believe. And I don't think politics is ever going to solve anything. But I'm simply saying this. Instead of following somebody blindly, instead of following some political commentator blindly, look and see what they believe. Get your head out of the sand and think for yourself. Quit trusting your television and read. Start investigating. Start digging for the truth yourself. And what you find will absolutely amaze and frighten you. I assure you. I did it. I begun doing it about 8 years ago, and what I found scared the living daylights out of me, and it drove me into a deeper relationship with my God and my Savior, and it has opened my eyes and made me appreciate every day that we have, and made me excited and zealous to tell others and wake others up. That's why we're doing this radio program, folks. Listen, you think this brother and I are doing this because we're getting wealthy off of it? We're not getting wealthy off of it. We pay to do this. We pay money to put this on the air because we are passionate about truth. And I'm telling you, we're living in a world where people are just complaining and griping and complaining and griping and saying, we need to fix this, we need to fix that, and nobody ever fixes anything. Lift up your voice and be active in it. I mean, no, we're not going to change this world, but you can surely wake some other people up in the process along the way.
Amen, brother. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to wake some folks up and wake others up. And when I mean wake up, too, I don't mean wake up to the end of, just for the simple NWO conspiracy that I hear some people say. You better wake up and get a closer walk with Jesus Christ, because when you get in that book and you get in the Word of God, it'll reveal all of the garbage that's going out in the world. It'll reprove all the garbage that's going out in the world. We need to draw closer to God. That's what I mean by waking up and seeing what's really going on here in this world, and that the devil's behind it all, and that's the game plan. That's the end game.
Amen. Well, let's go to break, brother. We got to take a break here. And we come back from the break. I want to talk about one other thing before we get into the program tonight. And I want to talk about, of all strange things, I want to talk about rodeo. So we come back on the other side of the break. And by the way, I have no idea tonight, Mr. Producer, what song we're playing first. I have no clue because it's not on my board. But whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be good. And so we're going to take a break. We'll come back here in just a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast, and we'll get back into some more of this Wake Up. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God's their love, your brother, I don't think you
Program. Come on down to the farm. And what a wonderful song that is. Amen.
Oh,
and,
boy.
That's the Seminole String Band. Brother Mick Norton and his wonderful family. And they are such a blessing, brother. I tell you, they are an absolute blessing. But that's a wonderful song. Amen.
Amen.
Come on down to the farm. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. Amen.
Love it.
Amen. I tell you, we're featuring the Seminole String Band on the show tonight. And again, you can Google them. I don't have their web address right in front of me, but that's okay. You can Google the Seminole String Band, and they're out of Seminole, Alabama. And they're a great, great family. And they've got a lot of good music out there, and they travel constantly, and they go from one revival meeting, church meeting to another, and they help people everywhere they go. They just recently helped with the Fellowship Track League. I think they helped them load a bunch of gospel tracks and get them out, and they also have a recording ministry. When they come across a family who's really, you know, not just anybody, but somebody, a family who's trying to use their musical talent for the Lord and trying to get gospel music out there, not trying to make a fortune or trying to earn a living doing it, but people who are trying to do it as a ministry, they basically have a rolling recording studio, and they help those families to get a CD recorded so they're able to be a blessing to folks with their music. So they're a tremendous group of people, and I thank God for them. Brother Mick, the dad, he got really exposed to all this conspiracy stuff working special operations in the Navy, and he saw the dirty, dirty, dirty side of our military, and so he's very, very well versed on this stuff. Brother, one thing I wanted to talk about as we continue on tonight with this wake-up section is something that took place at the Missouri State Fair, and most people have heard about it. But it was a rodeo clown during the, I want to say it was the bull riding event. He put on an Obama mask, and he just basically said, you know, who wants to see Obama get run over by a bull? And of course, the crowd went absolutely wild, and there were some liberals in the crowd. And they were just taken aback by it, and they reported it to the media monster in Washington, D.C., and some of those, you know, lily-white reporters who sit in a room with transgendered, gay, lesbian, Indian, Pakistani, you know, African-American, Mexican-American, whatever American. I mean, they sit in a newsroom with all these folks. That's all they know is this diverse America that they live in their little pocket they travel in New York and Washington, D.C. They've never been in middle America. They don't understand that there's a large population of America that absolutely loathes Obama. And so they look at it as just absolutely crazy racism. And they basically call for the head of this guy. And, they put all this pressure, this political pressure, I guess, or this media pressure comes down upon the Missouri State Fair, and they banned this rodeo clown, and I don't have his name, and I don't think I need to mention his name, they ban him for life from the Missouri, at least from the Missouri State Fair. But I think he's been banned now from Missouri for any fair, for any rodeos. I'm not positive, but I think that's exactly what's happened. And
Do you know who made the decision to do that?
I honestly can't tell you. I've not got into it as deep as I probably should have. But I do know that the Missouri State Fair has banned him for life, and I do know that the Missouri State Fair Association has decided that from now on, if they're going to, and by the way, the rodeo announcer who was a part of the routine also has resigned, and I listened to some of the news reports, and they just talked about how racist that was, and said that years ago in our country that black people were hunted down with animals and run down by livestock. I can't remember reading about that in my history.
Well, here's the thing, brother. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. To have somebody get up there because this guy's playing he's having a little fun. He's got a politician's face on. What do these people think? They're gods or something? This week we had a little boy praying to Obama. He's actually there's an article out there where a little boy is praying to Obama. They're setting this man up to be some kind of a god.
They are. They absolutely look as a god. And I remember going to the rodeos, and listen, their rodeo's a big thing down here in Texas. You know, I mean, I remember going to the rodeo a couple months ago and hearing a rodeo clown make this joke. He said, you know, this was during the election. And I believe, and I'm going to try to quote what he said. He said, and don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to be vulgar in any way, but they said Playboy magazine had offered Ann Romney $25,000 to pose for their magazine. And the White House was very, very upset about that because they had only offered Michelle National Geographic had only offered Michelle $50. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a crude joke. But at the same time, you know, nobody, you know, Jay Leno, David Letterman, and all the other talk show hosts have made political jokes, some of them very crude and some of them very harsh. I can guarantee you, not that I'm a George W. Bush fan. I wasn't at all. I couldn't stand the guy. I know what he is, and I know what his daddy is, and I know that whole family is corrupt as hell. They are wicked as hell itself, and their whole family line. And I know all the stories, the connections from this, that, and yonder with the Nazis and the whole nine yards. I'm telling you, that whole system right there, the whole family, the whole political system wrapped up in that family is wicked as can be. And they absolutely tried to crucify that man. And, you know, for Obama to think that he is above criticism because of his pigment of his skin is absolutely disgusting to me. Yes, they're trying to make him out to be a god. He is worshipped like a messiah, and he is not anything but a corrupt politician. And I'm telling you, you know, I'm just really beginning to think that America has been just absolutely brainwashed, you know, I don't know, brother. I just tell you, they are
brainwashed. You've got people right now that you can't. What they're making it set up is that you can't speak against the king. If you speak against the king, then we're going to punish you for it. You know, if you speak against the ruler, you know, you're going to get it. Well, listen, let's understand one thing. In America, the Constitution is the law of the land. It's not the man that is in the presidency or that is in the he's not the ruler of the people. In a republic, in a constitutional republic, it's the people that have the control through and all follow the Constitution of the land. Instead, we've been set up. We've been set up right now to be a dictatorship where this guy comes in, Obama, and nobody can say anything about him. Now, I don't, like I said, I know him and George Bush are all on the same team, and nothing changed with his presidency, only he doubled down on Bush's tactics and Bush's games. But the point is that, you know, there's a double standard with everything that we see here. You know, you can't say anything. You know, these guys, when those kids got beat up, when that white kid got beat up on the bus, you know, nobody mm-hmm. said anything. What is this? It's all a bunch of race baiting is all this is. Who cares? Why does the President of the United States, why does anybody else have time to worry about some goofball clown that makes a crack at a joke or something like that and talks about this? You got Chris Rock who says Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. Was it? No, maybe it wasn't Chris Rock.
No,
it was
Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, right. Jamie Foxx said, you know, oh, Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. I mean, they're setting this man up like he's some kind of a god. And mm-hmm. that nobody can speak against him, and if you do, you know, you're just a racist. And you know what? Let me ask you a question. Can I just okay. not like somebody? Can I just not like somebody? Do I have to be a racist because I just don't like what you stand for? Does that mean I'm a racist? When I think you're a God-hating devil, no, I'm not a racist. I don't hate you for your skin. I don't like you because you hate my God and you preach against him and you set yourself up to be a God. And my Bible says thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's why I loathe and detest who you are. It has nothing to do with your color. It has nothing
Amen.
To do with it.
Amen. Where I sit right now, this very night, less than 100 yards away from me is the home of a black lady that I worked with, one of the sweetest Christian women that I know. And I absolutely adore the lady. She's an absolute friend and a very godly woman. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I have no problem with people of color. None whatsoever. Listen, folks, hear what we're saying tonight. It has to do with what's in a man or a woman's heart. It doesn't have to do with what pigment is in their skin. It has to do with what is in their heart. It depends on where their faith lies. It depends on what kind of character they hold. And that's all it's about. I'm telling you, it depends on where you stand on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It depends on where you stand on that King James Bible. That's where I'm going to make my determination of whether you and I can ever get along. That's where I'm going to make my determination of whether or not I'm supporting you. And I'll tell you, I have no use for a crooked, lying, murdering, so-called leader. He's no leader. He's a terrible example. And he's ruining our country.
You better believe it. And he's part of the whole process to tear down America, and it's working. You know, you've got if we can plunge. Listen, let me tell you something. The forces of darkness out there, Jesuits and that, if they can get you to war and have a race war and turn it all into a race war and get everybody fighting each other and do that, then they win. They get what they want. Because remember what the goal is of the New World Order. Remember what that goal is of these people. Out
right.
of chaos comes order.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's their goal. A New World Order. Out of chaos comes a new order. And that's what they want. By the way, we've been talking about this, but I mentioned wrestling here earlier today, earlier on the program, and let me just say this to you, that there's a pro wrestler, which I don't, Vince McMahon is the most ungodly man in the world, but a pro wrestler came out and said that he's a homosexual and announced it proudly, and he goes, and his words are interesting, there's so much pride in his words, and if you mm-hmm. look at the Bible, the number one sin of Sodom was pride.
Right. Yeah,
that was the number one sin, pride. And as we look at this, this man comes out, he says, well, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I like it, and I'm happy, and I want to be happy, and I want to be happy. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the five things that Satan said. I will ascend above the throne of the stars of God, above the stars of God. I will sit on the sides of the north and the congregation of the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. I, all about you, all about what mm-hmm. makes you. Nothing in that statement said what was right or what was wrong. Nothing.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the greatest thing that the media, we better wake up, because the greatest thing that the media is trying to pull on the people of God today is to get you into a relative state of mind where everything is relative. That there's no absolute right and there's no absolute wrong. That's why I preached on the Ten Commandments this week, and I'm preaching a series on the Ten Commandments at our church. And the reason I'm doing that is because God has a law, and it's absolutely right, and there's wrong. There's right and there's wrong. There is no gray area in between. There's right and wrong with God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Brother, one other thing, I know we hadn't talked about this previously, so I'm kind of springing this on you. But one thing you mentioned, you were talking earlier, you said, you know, this, that Barack Obama is not, he's not the final law in this country. This country is a constitutional republic. The Constitution is supposed to be the last, it's supposed to be the line in the sand. But something, and I'm not sure if you've read this. I had a good friend sent me this the other night. It is a story, and it's on YouTube right now. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the title of the video is "All U.S. Regions Near Borders or Water Now a Constitution-Free Zone." And the video describes that this has been this way since 2008. It was a provision put in the Patriot Act, if I'm not mistaken. It's part of the Homeland Security, that 100 miles from the border, all the way around our continental United States, is now considered a constitution-free zone, and they can violate your constitutional rights, and you don't have a leg to stand on. Have you heard about
this?
Well,
that's right. Yeah, I've heard about these constitution-free zones, limited, but I have heard about them. And the point of that is just to circumvent law. By the way, do you understand that you can't write a law that's contrary to the original intent of the Constitution anyway? How in the world do these people, where do these devils come up with this? I guess we have our answer, we just said it. But these devils, they come up with these laws that are not even consistent with our own Constitution. You can't write laws that are contrary to the Constitution and expect people to obey them and to follow them. There's no such thing as a constitution-free zone. That's ridiculous. I don't care what some kind of a Patriot Act says or some kind of other thing. You're usurping authority that you don't have. You're taking on yourself. You're taking on yourself as a dictator and saying, "Well, you know, we've ruled this where the Constitution doesn't count here." Well, then if it doesn't, then you're not president there either, you dingbat. How are you a president there anyway, you moron? How can the Congress preside over a constitution-free zone when they don't even recognize the Constitution there? It's ridiculous.
Amen. Praise God. That's right, brother. Amen. Well, before we get completely mad and get to where we can't even do a show, I guess we probably ought to get into the show. Amen. Now that I've got Brother Cooley so worked up, he's foaming at the mouth and got smoke coming out of his ears, I will get him back into the Bible.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I should have said, instead of saying moron when I called the president, I should have said the most respectful term I could have used was what the Bible says. About him, and they are called wolves and vipers, you generation of vipers and wolves. You know, the Bible lists some serpents. Bible uses a few other ones, mules, and a few other words to describe those. But let me just tell you this right now: when it's all said and done, that man hates the Lord Jesus Christ, and
yes,
he is
sir.
A fool that is going to die and go to hell because he hates the God of the Bible.
Amen. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but right now as I'm broadcasting, I'm sitting in Paris, Texas. I know you know that. But I don't know if you're aware of it, but our mayor here in Paris, Texas, is a heart doctor here from Paris, Texas, and he is originally from Pakistan. His last name is Hashmi, and he is a Muslim. And just recently, he was invited to the White House to dine with President Obama, and I know that they celebrated Ramadan together. And so I'm telling you, it hits close to home. They've shut down Musharraf, the former president of Pakistan. He is best friends with our mayor, and they have shut down Paris, Texas on numerous occasions while his entourage came down the street with our police escorts and everything else. So believe me, he is no Christian. He hates Jesus. He's a Muslim, and I'm telling you, it's just scary.
Well, personally, let me say personally what I believe. I honestly don't believe that our president is a Muslim either. I don't believe he is. I believe those guys are Satanists. I don't believe they're Muslims. I believe there's a difference in the two, sort of slightly. But they both serve the same God, the God of this world. Even Satanists, understand something, even Satanists believe in an evil trinity. They will use the same titles, they will use the same things, but these people are satanic. They're satanic in what they do. You know, Muslims are demon, devil possessed. I believe Muslims that really follow Islam and believe it, I believe they're devil possessed. I believe they do. I believe they are. But let me say, with our president, I believe they're Satanists. I believe that's exactly what they don't care. They don't care about anything. Obama won't even take his wife over to Islamic countries, which tells you why, because she's not going to dress like that. She's mm-hmm. not going to be like that. She's not going to wear clothes like that, because she's not Muslim. They're not really Muslim. I believe they're Satanists. I believe most of these people are Satanists. They're into the occult. With George Bush and that, he's in the skull and crossbones. I believe they're cultists is what they are. You could disagree with me. I'm just saying, I believe that's what they really are, though.
Right. You know, we've only got about 7 minutes before we go to break, so we might as well finish this segment out. But there was something kind of, you know, you mentioned skull and bones, and there was something that was posted on Facebook here recently that you had posted something, and there was another Facebook poster who had posted something that was very interesting to me. And, you know, that skull and bones, which George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush were both members of, so was John Kerry, who's our current Secretary of State. Their symbol is a skull and crossbones, and underneath that is a number 322. And, you know, it's interesting. Whoever it was on Facebook that posted that, you know, Satanism does everything backwards. They try to do everything backwards from the Lord and the way the Lord does things. And Genesis, if you got a Bible there handy, brother, you want to read a verse of Scripture? If you got your Bible there, access. Okay. All right. Read Genesis, I believe it's 22:3, or it's either that or 2:23. I can't remember which it was, but this lady quoted this on Facebook, and there was a verse about eternal
life.
What's
the verse? Do you know what it is? I mean, what it references?
Well, it was. I want to say it's 3:22. I believe it's Genesis 2. It is. It's Genesis 2:23.
Okay.
Read verses chapter 2 verse 23.
And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh." Yeah, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man."
No, that's not it. Now, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe it's chapter 22 and verse 3, but I'm not positive. But the verse that was quoted, it was that 3:22. It was a connection of flipping that around somehow backwards, and saying that it meant that they were going to basically that the skull and bones was about living forever.
Right. That's their goal. The goal is to live forever. That's the goal. Listen, that is the goal of all of the esoteric religions. That is the goal of all of them, is to create. I'm preaching on this next week in a sermon on conspiracies and DNA and what the final conspiracy really is. They're looking to make that Superman, that God man. That's what the goal is of all these esoteric religions. So man will rise up out of the sea of humanity, rise up. And he will, the phoenix will rise, and man will be a Superman. They have super power and everything else, and you know, not be sick and be that perfect man. That's what the end game is. That's what the goal is.
Here it is, brother. Here it is, brother. I've got it. I've got it in front of me. Again, that number is 322, right?
There you go.
Underneath, all right, it's Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And that's exactly it.
Right. That is the goal. That is the goal of the esoteric religions right there. Their goal is to live forever. That's, when I say esoteric, I mean the Masons, I mean the mystics, the mystical religions, the Knights Templar, all of those, the Rosicrucians, all of those have that one goal, to live forever. That's their goal, and they want to make man. They want man to ascend to godhood. Not that God will come down, which he will. God will come to man and provide it a way of salvation. But they want to rise up to godhood. That's their goal. Maybe we'll talk about it one week on the program here and give a just so people can understand what's really going on with all that.
All right, amen. We've skipped around all over the place tonight, but that's okay.
Amen. That's all right, brother.
Yeah, we'll run these rabbit trails to death, amen. We hadn't got a congregation.
How much time we have before our break here?
We got 2 minutes.
I wanted to say something, if I could, just for a minute here.
Sure, go ahead.
Brother Tino Gropi has been on our program before here, and he's been a contributor, and he calls in, and he's been used of the Lord to be a blessing to us in different areas. We've talked about divorce and the New World Order and a few other things like that. But Brother Tino, he specializes in a Genesis evidence ministry. And Brother Tino has been led by the Lord here through some circumstances, some other things that God has led him to go full-time in the ministry and to give himself to the Lord for the ministry of creation ministry and getting the truth out there. He is one of the only men that I know that uses the King James Bible exclusively, that's not in prison right now, that uses it exclusively to get the truth out there and show the King James Bible. I've had him in our church. I with creation ministries, I recommend him. I mean, if there's pastors out there that would like to get a hold of him and have him in, he'd be a great guy to have in and to teach on creation and to teach on other things like that. The strength of the King James Bible with creation. He's one of the only men that preaches a message on that that really talks about how you got to be King James only in order for creation to make sense and for it to work. You can't go to another version of the Bible. It's got to be the true Word of God that you use. And he can talk about dinosaurs, and he can talk about pre-flood, post-flood, all kinds of things like that, brother. So I'd recommend folks to have him in and to get to know Tino and his Genesis Evidence Ministries. And you can reach him on Facebook as well. Tino, you can find him, Tino Gropi. His last name is spelled Gropi. You can look him up. You can look up Genesis Evidence Ministry as well. But I mean, praise the Lord for God calling men in and getting them out there to preach the truth to men. That's exciting.
Amen. Praise God. And we support Brother Tino, and he's been a blessing to us here on the program. Well, brother, it's time to take a break, and we're going to take one. And we come back, we'll get into tonight's the conclusion of this study on the Proverbs 7 Strange Woman. So we'll do that right after the break. And what a good song to go to. This is another one from the Seminole String Band. This one written by the lady singing it. She's a 16-year-old girl named Shelby, and it's about these young people waiting on God and not letting the world push them into a life of immorality. They're going to wait on God and follow his will. It's called Lord, I'll Wait for You. Shelby and the Seminole String Band on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be right back.
But I want everybody to see that's not what
Praise God for them and their ministry. They are such a blessing, and I urge you to go online and check them out. Their website is www.SeminoleStringBand.org. Check them out, and they've got all kinds of videos. You can watch them, listen to them free of charge, and also there's some information on there. And, I mean, also you can watch and see what all their ministry is about. They've got they do street preach, you know, the girls go out and they hold up signs, and they're a blessing. They're a true blessing, and I invite you to check them out. Also, Brother Tino Gropey, his website is www.genesisevidenceministry.org, and encourage you to check that out as well. Let me give the call in number one more time before we get into the program. If you'd like to call in and talk to us about whatever's on your mind, but we're really going to be talking and finishing up this series on the strange woman of Proverbs chapter 7, and we're going to get done with this and move on to something else, but it is very important. I want to say that I am at home. I have got four boys, and I'm concerned about what these boys are going to. I'm concerned about the females that are around these boys and what they see and what they're around, and I know that there's so much worldliness out there that comes against them, and I want them to be prepared to handle this, to deal with this, and they need the Word of God, they need instruction from the Bible in order to give them a clear view of what they're to look for in a woman and what they're to not look for and what they're Yes, sir?
Oh, brother, I wanted to correct something there. We gave the wrong address out. Brother Tino's address is www.genesisevidence.org. Genesisevidence.org.
Okay.
So just wanted to get it right.
Okay. Ain't no
that,
problem
brother?
At all. That ain't no problem at all. No, but like I said, I just, you know, it's important to me. I'm not on here tonight just saying all this stuff. You know, just for saying it's sake. I mean, it hits close to home. I mean, I've got a little girl at home that I want to grow up to be the right kind of godly woman. You know, I want my wife to follow the Word of God, and it's important to me and my family. And I figure if it's important to me and my family, surely if there are other godly men out there, it's important to you and your family, and there are godly mothers and wives out there. So anyway, the number to call in tonight. One more time, if you've got a pen, got a pencil, get one, grab it, type it in your cell phone, whatever you got to do. 646-915-9266. One more time, 646-915-9266. And we're talking about the strange woman, and we've talked about her attributes. We've talked about other things. But we're going to get into talking about her methods and how she does what she does. Brother, why don't you kick us off tonight?
Amen, brother. As we look at the methods of this strange woman, and again, understand this. We are trying to prepare people. Fathers, help prepare fathers. Help prepare mothers. I would like to, can I just say, I want to share a little bit of what the Lord's laid on my heart with this, like Brother Brandon just did with his kids. Let me make it applicable to my family and what God has called me to do. I want you to understand that I would like to save you from a lot of pain and agony if I could. I would like to be used of God to save you from a divorce. I don't mean me doing it. I mean by bringing the right information to you and warning you and teaching you and admonishing you like the scripture says. I'm not doing this to bruise somebody, to beat somebody over the head, to make them feel bad, to make myself feel better, or anything like that. The reason that I preach these messages in the first place was because God laid it on my heart to really teach people and to show them the truth, to prevent the problem. You know, many of the problems in marriage or before marriage could have been avoided by identifying the problems beforehand. Now, after the fact, there's not a lot you can do about it, but get right with God and continue on for the faith and do right. That's all we can do. But beforehand, if I can be used of God to warn you, I'm not trying to, like the Apostle Paul says, you know, he caused some sorrow in you, but his goal was that you sorrow unto repentance, that not just for the sake of sorrowing. I'm not trying to just make you cry or make you upset tonight. That's not what Brother Brandon and I are doing. What we're trying to do is do what the Bible says, what the Apostle Paul did. He said, I cease not to warn you night and day. He said, with tears, I warned you, and I wanted to prepare you and let you know that these things are going to happen and that you need to be on the guard and on the lookout for them. And that's why we're doing this, okay? We're not doing this because we want to hurt people. On the contrary, we would love nothing better than to hurt the devil and help the Lord's work and help God's people. That's what we would like to do.
That's right. We want to be a help to you. And,
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's what ministry is. It's being a help, and ministering is helping people to know the truth. Brother, you want me to read some of these scriptures and then you comment on them?
Yes, please do.
Okay. We'll start off with Proverbs chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you ought to look at it for yourself. It helps when you see it on the page for yourself. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "Lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." I'll tell you what, brother, let me read the scripture. You hit us with some truth off of it, and then I'll move on to the next one, all right? Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them.
Her ways are movable, that you can't know what's really going on in that heart of hers by her actions. I mean, she's shifting with the wind. She's whatever society says, that's what she's going to do. She has no rhyme or reason for what she's doing. This lady has not been neglected by her father, by her husband. She has not been, her husband's just off working and trying to provide for her. And she has, her moral basis is society, which is just always constantly shifting. Like you said last week, Brother Brandon, people need to get over this fact of trying to stay two steps behind the world. God help us. No, deliver us from this evil world. Mm-hmm. And let's live for God and stay 2 miles away from this world. To encourage God's people to be miles away from the world when it comes to sanctification, and separation. But this woman, you can't know her. You can't trust her. She can't be trusted. Look, she's the opposite of the Proverbs 31 woman. The Proverbs 31 woman was predictable. You could predict that she was taking care of her husband's estate. She was a helpmate to her husband. She was trying to provide. She was trying to provide clothing by making it and doing all of these things that a good wife will do. I mean, listen, there's a lot of good ladies out there tonight that are trying to serve the Lord and be faithful to God, and they're following that pattern. They don't follow this pattern of being, you know, her ways. Are movable. Now canst not know them. They're inconsistent. She's not attached to her husband. This lady abandons herself to the first comer. She has neither knowledge nor wisdom nor discernment. She can't rule over her own passions. She has no control over them.
Amen. Praise God. She's given to wickedness. Amen.
Absolutely given over to it, brother. I've seen very foolish people that have gotten involved with married people like that. And just to go on to marry that person and then find the same thing out. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Lady, man, whatever you're on, whoever's listening to the sound, whoever the Lord wants to hear this right now, listen to this. If you think by taking somebody from another relationship and trying and stealing them from their husband or stealing them from their wife, and getting into a relationship, if you think that person will be true to you, you are deceived by the devil. Her ways are without understanding. Her ways are movable. They cannot be known. If you get involved with a man or a woman, not just women, but a man or a woman like this, they're not going to be trustworthy. If they're not trustworthy enough to stay with their husband or their wife and to be faithful, they'll not be that way with you, friend. You're fooling yourself. You're in for a lot of heartache and pain in the future.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now let's look at the next thing the Scripture tells us. Let's jump over in Proverbs 7 and look in verse 13. The Bible tells us, and this is moving on from where we were last week. The Bible says, talking about, you know, if we go back into Scripture, Solomon is looking through his window down at the street, and he sees this woman out on the street, and she's looking for one of the simple youth, and here we go, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent... Oh, well, let's just stop right there. She caught him and kissed him. I've caught some things in my life. I've caught quite a bit of fish. And, you know, I was fishing. The fish wasn't looking for me. I was looking for them.
Amen, brother. That's just the whole thing. You look at this. This is opposite of a chaste, godly woman. It's the complete opposite here. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse number 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Well, let's talk about a man touching a woman. It's talking about the man even. According to nature, a man will be the aggressor. You know, mm-hmm. The man will be the aggressor in a relationship. Now, I'm not saying, listen, let me say this. I'm not saying it's wrong for your wife to run up to you and give you a big kiss and a hug and be affectionate and loving. Hey, every man loves that. Every man wants to be loved. But we're talking about a lady that doesn't even know it. She just sees a young man. And
right.
She grabs him. She grabs hold of him. She catches him.
And kisses him.
Mm.
And this is not just any man. This is a young man. This is, I mean, we're looking at this. He is a young, inexperienced, simple-minded youth. And here is a married woman. And she goes to him and grabs hold of him and plants her lips on his and gives him a kiss and probably sends shockwaves through his body because he is not expecting this. He has, I mean, and by the way, he doesn't have enough sense not to accept her advances. He's a simple youth.
He's a simple, foolish young man, and we could talk about that. You know, we could be off of we'll be off the strange woman next week. One of these weeks we could tackle the simple young fool. You know, the simple young man and how foolish he is. You know, because men need to be talked about too. Men need to be. We need to train our young men, but that's another week for another time. But as we look at this, though, and we see this strange woman. She's not scared at all. She's not shy at all to grab hold of a man and to kiss him. and with boldness to touch another man that is not hers. It's even against the course of the order of the sexes that God laid down for a woman to be so aggressive with a man that she doesn't even know.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's not hard to see what kind of woman we're talking about here.
I mean, she's easy. She is cheap. You call it anything you want to. I mean the word whore applies certainly. A trashy whore, slut. I mean, there's all kinds of horrible words you can throw out there. But that's exactly the type that we're looking at here. She's a tramp. And, she's using sex appeal to try to overwhelm someone else.
Yes, very deceitfully. Now, this, very deceitfully that she's using this. You can see the feminism there and the role reversal that takes place there. The boldness and the brassiness, not modesty. It's a sinful boldness. The young man that went near her corner where she was plying or in the way to her house, where she was sitting or standing, waiting and watching for such an opportunity, for such a person as a prey to fasten on. No sooner she saw him and came up to him, but without any ceremony or dress, she just grabbed him and laid hold on him and kissed him to stir up his affections and to stir up impure desires in him.
Right.
It was very shame. It means that the way she was wanting modesty and bold with contempt of others, just a real impudent look. No shame in what she has done. No shame, in it at all.
Right. That word impudent there. Give me a definition of the word impudent. Do you happen to know the definition of the word impudent?
Yes. Impudent with an impudent face is a face without modesty. And without no showing due respect for another person, shameless, barefaced, just no shame to your game. And let me just say this again, if you're that type of person, you can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. I just had somebody send me a comment on that, and yes, you can be saved. We want to call everybody to repentance. If there's a lady
Amen.
Out there like that. Come and to repentance and faith, and God will change you. I used to be a man that was a fornicator that ran around. God can save any man from his sin, and God can
Amen.
Deliver you from this condition. And I appreciate the comment that was just sent to me on this, because listen, I believe in the redemption of Jesus Christ. I believe that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, that God will save you and he'll change you. And if you're a harlot, if you're a whore, listen, Jesus saved the woman that was of ill repute. Remember her? The one that was
Absolutely.
Dragged in fornication, and the Pharisees were writing on the floor. They were writing, Jesus was writing on the floor, and the Pharisees were saying, hey, let's go after, you got Moses in the law said to stone her. She already knew she was guilty. Listen, if you're here tonight, listen to this, and you're guilty of doing this, guess what? I've got good news for you. You can repent of your sins, and you can turn to Jesus Christ and trust him by faith, and he'll save your soul, and he'll deliver you from being this woman. This
Amen.
Strange woman, this harlot. That's exciting news.
Amen. You take Mary Magdalene for that example. I mean, Mary Magdalene,
Amen.
she was a very fallen woman. And she, I mean, what a love she had for the Savior. I mean, once he forgave her of her sins, well, she repented, believed on him, and trusted him. She took all of what used to be a perverted lust, and now God has changed that into a righteous love for Christ and service to him, and he absolutely can do it. He absolutely will replace all of what used to be vile with something that is righteous and holy. And
I thank God for his mercy on my soul and what he did for me. And I don't think I'm any better than this lady that we're describing. In fact, I was the male version of this person.
Amen.
And God delivered me from that lifestyle. If you heard my testimony, I preached it at your church, brother. I preached
right.
my testimony, and I had ran around with women that were harlots and that were prostitutes and everything else. I ran around. I lived that life, and I was delivered
Amen.
From it. And And God will deliver anybody from that. You don't have to stay this type of a person. God wants to save you and forgive you and wash you in his own blood and give you a home. Amen.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. I mean, yes, I myself as well. I lived that life as well. I have been a singer in a country band and a singer in a rock and roll band before the Lord changed my life. I thank God for my salvation. Amen. He took me from being one thing and made me something totally different. He made me a preacher of righteousness, and I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul from hell and saved me from my sins. I thank God I'm saved from what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. And it's because of what Jesus did, not because of me. It's because of what Christ has done in my life.
Amen, brothers. We look at this lady and understand that there's delivery. Now we see a flip side of this lady as well. We see a flip side here that this lady has some religiosity about her.
Right.
You know, read that verse, brother. Read the next verse, if you would, please.
Verse 14, chapter 7, she said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows.
Amen. This lady, what she is saying here, she's saying that, hey, listen, I'm religious. I went and gave a sacrifice for this, so I'm okay. I can live like this. Can I warn you, if you are a Christian right now and you are playing around with the world and you are playing around in a wicked relationship, what I mean by that, I don't mean that you're married. I mean that you're fornicating or you're living like that and you name the name of Christ. You're doing what this lady, and I'm just speaking to lady or man. It doesn't matter. It's applicable to both. If you're doing this, if you're going to church on Sunday and living like the devil on Saturday and all through the week, and you're saved, God is going to chasten you and God is going to deal with you. If you're living wrong and you're saved and you're naming the name of Christ, God will chastise his children for that. He will punish you for that. And this lady right here says, I have paid my vows. Now, I don't think this lady was a born-again believer at all. I know we're talking about somebody in the book of Psalms, and Solomon is looking out at this. I believe she went through the temple sacrifices, though. It says here that she paid her vows. She insinuated that she had made a vow for health and safety of this young man. She even said, hey, don't worry about it. I paid my vows, and it's all good now.
Hey, brother, I don't want to interrupt you too much, but I recall not too long ago reading what the former pastor of Hammond, First Baptist Church of Hammond, had said to the young girl that he was molesting. He told her that, you know, God wants us to do this. God wants us to be happy, and God wants to give us what we want. So, there's a prime example of how this twisted, perverse spirit can act.
Amen. It can, and that's why we got to be close to the Word of God, and we got to be close to husbands. Got to be close to their wives, and wives got to be close to their husbands, and we got to love one another and be kind to each other. Because the devil can creep in. We got to know what we're doing by following the scriptures, the Word of God, and staying close to it. This woman is like she reminds me of a Roman Catholic that shows up to church and asks for forgiveness, pays her money, takes communion, but you know she's trying to make peace with God for sins that she intends to commit.
All right.
And you know what she would do is, they would bring part of the food back. Part of that animal would come back, and they would have a feast.
Mm-hmm.
This day have I paid my vows. They would have a feast, and they would eat off the remains of that sacrifice that they could take home with them. And that's what she was doing.
In other words, she's kind of like, it'd be kind of like a modern day version of, hey, you know, I go to church. You know, I'm a Christian. It's okay. God knows I'm a sinner, you know. I mean, he knows I'm a sinner. So I mean, you know, God understands. God knows my heart. That's kind of the modern version, wouldn't you say?
Sure is, brother. It is the modern version. And let me just say this to you, Christian. God does know your heart, and you might be saved and living wrong. But you know what? I don't know your heart. And your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't know your heart. So they can only know but go by your actions of how you act and how you live. Because man does look on the outside, but God looks on the heart. So let's use that in reverse and understand that if you act wickedly and you live wickedly, men aren't going to believe you're real for God. And
that's
you're
right.
going to be a bad testimony for the Lord. And that's all of us.
And make a mockery.
That's right. Absolutely. So anyway, this is this religiosity that's here. I believe you see this in a lot of churches today too. You see a lot of rebellion, and I believe that's where witchcraft comes in the churches here. When you see a lot of people that are shacking up and living wrong, and the preachers aren't preaching against it. And hey, what these people are paying their vows, they're paying their tithes, they're paying their offerings, they're doing these things, but they're living wickedly, and the preacher's not preaching against this stuff. The Bible says that adulterers and whoremongers God will judge.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Amen. We got about a minute and a half, brother. We're going to have to take another break. I know this thing's going so fast. It's just
amen.
Slipping by us tonight. But amen. You know, that's the way it goes. So praise God. But anyway, it does. It sickens me, brother. I mean, you know, this day we live in with this Joel Osteen churchianity that's going on around us, and you know, I see people in Facebook. You know, Facebook is a I'm going to use the last minute talking about this. Facebook is a good sampling of what is out there. I mean, it really is, because I have, and I couldn't even tell you how many Facebook friends I have right now, but there are people who know me. And I'm sure it's the same way with you. There are people who've known me from every aspect of my life. I have childhood friends who have found me on Facebook and friended me. I have high school friends who found and friended me. I have people from my old former way of life who have found me and friended me. Now, I'm not saying I'm friends with the worst of the worst. I'm saying there's some who now are living different lives than they found and friended me. There are people who know me as a pastor, and there are pastors that I'm friends with. But I get a broad spectrum of all these people, and I'm not necessarily in close contact with any of them, but I see what they post. Some of them I have absolutely blocked and gotten rid of. But I see these people who go to church, and yet they live their life as if God didn't matter, except on Sunday. And God help us. We're going to have to take a break. And
amen.
When we come back from the break, we're going to finish this up. And so anyway, we got one more song from the Seminole String Band tonight. And this one is called A Few Good Men. And that's what we need today. We need some good godly daddies and some good young men who will stand in the gap in the next generation. So here we go. Seminole String Band, see you in just a moment.
Life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength.
Amen. A few good men, Seminole String Band. I hope the men that are listening to this program tonight will take that challenge and be those few good men. You know, the Bible says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And there are only a few. God has a remnant out there, but it's a small, small sampling of what calls itself Christians today. And but anyway, let's get back into it. And Brother Cooley, we're talking about the strange woman's methods, and we were just talking before the break about how she's religious and she has that religiosity about her, and she tries to soothe him with, "Hey, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I go to the temple, I do my sacrifices and whatnot, and you know, God will be okay with us fooling around a little bit. I mean, we're just kind of, you know, doing what feels good, you know, and it's okay." And it is wicked. It's wicked as hell. But, you know, he's a simple fool is what he is. And a lot of these young people, you know, they follow this world's customs. They follow this world's attitude. And if you follow this world's attitude, it'll turn you into a simple-minded fool is what it'll do. And if you just do what you want to do and follow your own will, then you're practicing Satanism and don't even know it. You're going to wind up in the same mess that this young man wound up in. And I've seen it happen. I saw it happen right in my own church that I pastor. It happened right in my own family. Happened right under my nose. And I'm telling you, it can happen to anybody. And let's get into this. Let's get in back into the scripture. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 15. The Bible says, she said in the Word of God, Solomon says that this woman told this young man, therefore, because she'd already done all her religious duty, she said, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Now, what is she saying to him, brother?
Well, she's trying to make him think that he's the only one, that you know, nothing else matters, and I have diligently sought for you, just you, you're the special one. She just picked some young man that was around, that was random, that was there. She doesn't care about him. Pay no attention to the facts, simple one. Just fall for the tricks and passions of deceit. She's waiting for any man. But,
right.
Oh, I found thee. You're the love of my life. You're everything. Never mind, she has a husband, and she's just setting a trap for this young man.
Right. She's just absolutely taking what she wants. Her flesh is craving something lustfully, and she wants to get it, and she'll say whatever she wants to say, has to say, and she'll do whatever she has to do to get what she wants. And you know, that, you know, I'm sorry, but I mean, I just have to say it. You know, that's the way that woman works, and unfortunately, you know, just as you admitted a while ago, you know, you come from that lifestyle, and I came through that lifestyle, and that type of woman, she'll call you baby, she'll call you any kind of name that she can come up with to try to seduce you with her words. She'll make you feel as special as she possibly can with her words. And, I mean, her words, they'll drop like a honeycomb. That's what the Bible says. And smooth as oil. She'll make you think, I mean, she'll melt you with her words. And, you think about all these prostitutes that walk the streets. You know, they make their money selling their body and doing vile, perverted things with strangers. But don't you think when they get along with those strangers, don't you think that they use those words to try to make money? They use their words. They tell them, oh, baby, you're so handsome. Oh, you got such muscles. Look at you. You're so, you know, they use their words. And that's exactly what this woman was doing with this young man.
That is what she was doing. But the saddest part is this woman wasn't doing it for money.
No,
this woman is not a prostitute. This woman is not being paid to do this. This is even worse than that. the woman that's a prostitute is getting paid to do it, and a lot of times these ladies get trapped into that lifestyle. They get sold into it. I'm not defending doing wrong, but they get sold into it, and they live in that type of filth and that type of wickedness. But this lady is a married lady that is choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. She is choosing to be this woman. She doesn't have to be. She's cared for. She's taken care of. But she has chose to seduce this young man, and she's trying to steal his purity from him. And she starts it by just kissing him. And you know, we have a rash of this today that's going on in our society. We just have a great number of these teachers that we see now today, and they're seducing these young boys, and they're doing
right.
it just like this. They're saying words to them, and they're seducing these young men. In the public school system, it's unbelievable.
Right. You know, and I mean, you think about what, and I'm sure you went to public school when you were a young man, and so did I. And, you know, the teachers back then, you know, I mean, I think about the way teachers looked when I was a little kid. You know, they all looked like they were in their 60s, and most of them were. But today, man, I mean, the public school system is so, I don't even want to get on that. Soapbox.
Well, I'll tell you, brother. When I was a young kid, I mean, there was a few pretty teachers, and you know, when you're a little kid, sometimes you have those little crushes and all that kind of stuff. When you're real small and everything like that, and then you get older. But there wasn't any teachers that when I was like 16 and 17, the only teacher I can remember is a big mean lesbian that was like 6'5". And she taught us. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. She was a lesbian. She was a big 6'5", 300-pound lesbian, and she or 250-pound lesbian, and she was a mean lady. I mean, she was all man. She was all butch. And I mean, there wasn't no crush there at all. She hated my guts because I was in the science class. And I did kind of make fun of evolution and say, you know, talk about creation. And I think that's where, you know, I was done. But I quit school when I was 16. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying I did when I was 16 years old because of a few circumstances like that. But anyway, these teachers are young now. They're like 24 years old. And these, there was no teachers that, like you said, that looked like that when I was that age.
Right.
When I was 16 years old, that were like 6-7 years apart. Well, that's too close of an age together in the first place, you know,
exactly.
to even be doing that. So anyway, but that gives you an idea. You're not supposed to spend time, lady, you're not supposed to spend time around a bunch of men like that. Young men aren't supposed to spend time, you know, around ladies like that. And that aren't their mother and in proper situations like that. Something can turn that started out very proper can turn improper in the heat of the moment in a few minutes. It can change.
Right. Amen.
This young man.
Go ahead. Now I was just gonna move on and go to verse 16. And she's also telling him, she's also describing her bedroom to him. In verse 16,
right.
she said, "I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt." So she starts telling him, "Say, hey, you know, let me tell you about my bed back at home." And she's already kissed him, and she's made him think that, "Oh, I yearn for you. You know, you're so handsome." I mean, she's, of course, we don't read this in the text, but these are the kind of things she's saying. "I've yearned for you. You know, I'm looking for you. You're so strong. Look at you. Oh, I want to be with you. You know, let me tell you what my bed looks like back at home." I mean, that she has got this guy all bent out of shape. And, I mean, it's called seduction. And he is not equipped to handle it. She's trapped.
No, he's a young man that shouldn't be out at night. Anyway, we'll talk about the foolish young man sometime, but he's a young man that shouldn't be, you know, he shouldn't be out. He shouldn't really be out there. you know, at night doing that. He should be at home with his parents. He shouldn't be out running around with his buddies. But anyway, we'll cover that when we talk about the foolish men. But she describes her bed to him. "I have perfumed my bed," she says, covered with tapestry, you know, coverings of tapestry with carved works and with fine linen. And she adorned her bed with curtains and clothes, very delightful to the eye, very inviting. And she's enticing him with visual aids.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about perfuming her bed with myrrh and with aloes and with cinnamon, with all things that smell nice and great. And she's seducing him. You're right. That's exactly what she's doing. That's exactly what her game plan is. What's the next verse, brother?
Well, I mean, she just lays it on the line, the next verse. She said, "Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves." In other words, I'm yours, and we'll just do what comes natural till the sun comes up. Sounds like
That's
just
right.
about every vile song that I've ever heard.
Yep, it sounds like an old country west or a country western song and a rap song and everything else and every other rock and roll song that's out there for the most part. Taking him by the hand and pulling him along, she says, "Come, let's not stand here in the streets, but let's go within, and after supper we'll go to bed and there enjoy ourselves and be inebriated with love." And you know, his eyes were drunk with love and lust, really, is what it is. So continue
right.
to the morning. You know, there's nothing that's going to stop him. Let us solace ourselves with love. Well, we don't have to worry about it. The good man is, he's not home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. She told him, "Hey, ain't nobody there but me. There ain't nobody there with me, but me. You ain't got to worry about it." Because I guarantee he must have figured out. You know, I'm assuming when he... You know, if he knew anything about her, he must have known she had a husband. And not only that, but when he got back to the house, surely he saw evidence there had been a man there.
That's right. And notice this about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 3, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and the likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife." Listen. This man is stealing. That
mm-hmm.
that wife is not, she is not her own to give away. She belongs to a husband. And just like the husband's body belongs to the wife, and when he gives that away, if he gives that away to somebody else, he's not giving it away, he's stealing it. He has no right to do it. Do you understand that? The Bible says, that's why fornication is such a wicked sin. First of all, we belong to God. Second of all, the Bible says that the husband's hath not power over his own body, but the wife. When a man goes out and he commits fornication, or a woman goes out and commits fornication, the greatest thing is they are stealing. They are stealing. They are stealing their body that doesn't belong to them, and they're giving it to somebody else that they have no right to do. They don't. It's not theirs. It's not in their power to give it because they belong to somebody else.
That's absolutely right, brother. Yep, he went into that man's house, and you know, he probably sat at that man's table, probably drank out of his glass, and then he laid in his bed with his wife and took what was sacred to that man. And he absolutely violated all that was right and good to that man. I mean, he violated it.
He stole it.
Absolutely.
He stole it. He's a thief.
We have to see sin for what it is. I mean, some people may be getting uncomfortable with what we're talking about. But listen to me. This is the Word of God. God doesn't sugarcoat. Understand that. God. Some people think, brother, I think some people think God's all puppy dogs and rainbows and just love, 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 and he don't ever get down to the nitty-gritty. But God pulls back the covers and shows you what it really is. He
right.
lets you see the underbelly of your sin to see how disgusting it is to him. And it is. It's vile. You need to see it for what it is. You need to see. Listen to me, lady. Listen, you need to understand that when you take what you have vowed to give
to that man for the rest of his life, the love, the affection, your everything, your body, your dedication. And when you take and you prostitute that out, because that's what you're doing, you take and you give that to another man, you've stolen trust, you've stolen what belongs to that man, and it is disgusting before God Almighty. And don't think that God doesn't see it, doesn't know, and that God won't deal with you accordingly.
That's right, because see, not only did that young man steal, that woman stole too, because she's not her own. She belongs to her husband, and her husband belongs to her. So she has stolen from her own husband. She has stolen his food. She has stolen herself that belongs to her husband. She's taken it. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. The good man isn't in his home. The good man is away. He's on a long... This sounds like this man was a good husband. He loved his wife. He trusted his wife. And he was busy doing what a man does and didn't know that he had a betrayer in the home with him.
That's absolutely right, brother. He had a betrayer in the home. And, I mean, what a sick feeling. You know what? I've been in those shoes. And I know what that's like. And I've counseled with many men who've gone through it. Just this last year, I had the job of telling a man that I found out that his wife was doing that. And I had proof. And I was the one who made that call and told him, look, I know it's happening. I've seen it for myself, and I know it's happening. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's the sickest feeling in the entire world for a man to go through when he hears those words. She's cheating on you. It is the biggest kick in the gut, and it's just sickening beyond description. But it's more sickening to God Almighty. It's so sickening. And again, we're saying this, we're telling you this, because society, this world around us, is so run by Satan. And it's so subtle, and its ways creep into the hearts and minds of Christian girls and women. And in order to fit in, to feel popular, In order to not be ostracized and mocked, many young women and girls who otherwise they know better. God's word, they know what God's word says, but because there's so much pressure on them, they yield to that pressure, and in so doing, they adopt some of these ways of this strange woman. And it's a slippery slope once you get on it. And that's what we're trying to tell you tonight. Once you get on that slippery slope, it's all downhill from there. And we want you to understand that we're just trying to be a help to you. We're trying to warn you tonight. We're trying to be watchmen on the wall, blowing the horn, saying, please, take heed to God's word. Brother Cooley?
Amen, brother. That's exactly what we're trying to do, because I've seen the remnants of what happens, with this when what's left over, and usually it's the pastor of the one that's been the offended one. The pastor comes in, or the godly friend comes in and has to try to counsel and pick up the pieces after that betrayal has taken place, and even if you're not the one that was guilty of doing it, but you're the one that was cheated on, it takes a long time to get over that, and your heart is broken, and it has to, and you won't easily give it to someone else, and it has you have to give your heart to God first and let the Lord heal you, and the Lord will heal you, He will. And you got to get out any root of bitterness that you might have in you, and just trust the Lord to give you the life that He wants you to have. And don't play games with this stuff. Lady, young man, your body is not a tool to be used for the devil. It's a vessel to be used for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Any closing thoughts besides that on this subject that you might want to have? We've got a few more minutes tonight.
You know, brother, as we look at this, guard your children. Teach them the Bible. Teach them at a young age the Word of God. Take the Ten Commandments and teach them the Ten Commandments of God. One of the Ten Commandments of God, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, that's a very important command to teach them. Now, my children at a young age, they don't really understand that to its fullness. But what I tell them is it's somebody that's married that just runs out and goes and tries to be married to somebody else or tries to be with somebody else when they're supposed to be with their husband or their wife. And that's a sin in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And God will judge that. Teach them about separation and teach them about these attributes of a strange woman and teach your young men to be real men and not to be easily fooled or duped or seduced by a woman, but to be on the guard and understand that. Likewise, teach your young ladies not to fall for a sociopathic nut or a man that doesn't love the Lord enough to go through to your father and wants you to lie to your father and wants to steal you from your father, you know, until, you know, not counting marriage, but before marriage, or, you know, they'll promise you the world to get what they want, men will, and they'll ruin your life because of it. If a man's not man enough to go through a father, then he's not man enough to marry your daughter. These are principles that we must understand.
That's right. One other thing I would say, too, is I want to say to dads, love your daughters. Build a strong relationship and bond with your daughters. Give them what they need from you. Because if they don't get what they need from you, they'll try to find it in every man that they meet. So please. I mean, that's why so many girls go from men, one man to another, one man to another. That's why they waste their lives. Because their dad did not give them the proper daddy attention that they needed when they had him. He was too busy with everything else and neglected the attention that a little girl craves from her daddy. Give them that love and that attention and that time.
That's right, brother. That is so important that a father spends time with his daughters and his sons, but I mean that he spends time with his daughters, loving them and caring for them because they need that. They need that affection. Children grow up incomplete if they do not have affection, correction, and direction. They need all of those things. They need the correction of the Word of God, and they need affection from you, a loving, affectionate father, and they need direction. They need to be guided and directed. All three of those things are important for a child to be successful and to be prosperous according to the scriptures. And affection, fathers not being affectionate to their daughters is one of the reasons why, without a close relationship with the daughters, one of the reasons why a daughter will go out and seek a man instead of allowing God to bring one into their life through their father to be a good husband.
That's right. They'll go out trying to replace what they didn't get from their own dad.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Well, brother, we got about a minute left, but we're going to have to get out of here. And I just want to say I've enjoyed this study. It's been a help. And I really feel like we've helped some people out there. And, you know, if you are helped by this program, you know, let us know. We want to know. Give us a call on the program or let us know through Facebook. We just want to be a blessing to the Lord. We'll give God the glory. We know it's not us, but... But, brother, we're going to go on to something else next week. Look forward
Amen.
To...
Amen. We'll start a new series.
Amen. We start a new series. We'll have somebody on talk about something. But I look forward to it, and it's always good, brother. I always enjoy our time together here on the air. And we're going to head on out. Brother Jason, I'll see you later. If the rest of you,
Amen,
let God be true. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I'm Brother Brandon Teague, and this has been the Old Paths Broadcast. Thank you.
another, stack them stones for you and me.